Hi, I'm Lauren from the Fashion Grunge podcast. I've always been obsessed with movies, television, and general pop culture being an 80s baby. I decided to start this show in early 2020, and I wanted to figure out a way to talk about our favorite films and just really explore the culture a lot more that everyone seems to love. So join me as we talk about our favorite horror classics like Scream. And then he's just like, we all go a little mad. So.
Oh, yeah, with his
blood. And then, like, yeah, from then on, I was just like, oh, like, chills, you know? We even talk the history of the grunge rock scene and its many influences. And I just love that Black Flag was one of the bands that inspired Nirvana and, like, Kurt and Chris. And because this is the Fashion Grunge podcast, we do some fashion chat recaps and talk about what's happening during Fashion Week and just general news and trends that we see happening in the scene today.
You couldn't really capsule like 2023 in fashion because it's random.
I like when they used to do those recaps at the end of the shows. I mean, this was like a long time ago, like style.com days. So join me and my friends as we scratch the surface and dig way below into the depths of 90s pop culture. And if you love everything outside of the 90s, we have even more content with television all over on Patreon. So check out the Fashion Grunge podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, rewatchers?
Hi, I'm Dustin.
And I'm Lauren from Fashion Grunge, and we're here to tell you that the following podcast has strong adult language, so please keep in mind who around you can hear it.
Also, just a warning that there are spoilers ahead.
But it's been out for a long time. You really should have watched by now.
Exactly.
Enjoy.
Anyway, okay, let's get ready to do the word thing. And not to set it so casually.
The word thing?
Just we're doing the word thing. Are you ready to do the word thing?
Ghostwriter!
Hello, and welcome to the Rewatch Recap. I am Dustin here, and I am here with Lauren of Fashion Grunge Podcast. How is it going, Lauren?
Hi, I'm so excited to talk about this.
I am so excited, too. Oh, so yeah, guys, we're doing Ghost Rider. It's going to be the Ghost Rider experience here on the Rewatch Recap. Woo-hoo. And Lauren loves nostalgic stuff, just like me.
Love it.
I just played your promo before the start of this episode. But so what do you have coming up on Fashion Grunge Pod?
Ooh, okay. Well, I guess like you would consider nostalgia early 2000s, but we're going to talk Flight of the Conchords pretty soon.
Oh.
Which should be really cool, which is a great show on HBO. That's like this funny little quirky show from like, I guess 2004 or something like that. It's like pretty early, yeah. But I guess that's 20 years ago now. So that is nostalgia, even though it's
weird. Yeah. When you're like, that was 20 years already? Really?
Yeah, it really doesn't. And I think I'm going back and redoing some of my earlier episodes, which sounds weird, but when I started the show, I had no idea like how to talk about anything. So I'm like, I need to redo these movies that I really love. So I'm going to go back and I just redid SLC Punk because I love that so much. And I've redone Clueless. And then I'm going to redo, I think soon, Reality Bites because one of my co-hosts is like 10 years younger than me and she's never seen it. And I was like, okay, I need to, because she loves Winona. And I was like, okay, you're going to be obsessed with this whole movie and I can't wait to get her first take. So yeah, I'm going to redo that one.
You got to get her somehow just listen to Lisa Loeb over and over. And just that song has no actual rhythm to it, but somehow we all know the lyrics. And
oh, good.
I can't do it when it's not playing.
It's so good. And Ethan Hawke directed the music video. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Like the famous video.
Did he discover her basically?
I think so. And put her in the soundtrack, I want to say. Like, put her like to have that song in the soundtrack. So yeah, it's a great one
in the movie. And they're like, okay, sure. So
it's great.
I remember. Yeah. I heard something from her saying that she was really grateful to him for that, for like really jumpstarting her career, which is awesome. But that's great. I can't wait to listen to those. And yeah. Hey, if you ever need anybody, just
wink. Oh, totally. I mean, I have way more 90s movies to do and kind of some more movie of the week, some more obscure movie of the weeks from the 90s. So yeah. I may call on you for that in a few weeks.
Vice versa.
Yeah, because they're wild. Anyone out there who's not seen any 90s movie of the weeks, they are wild.
Yeah, not when they're made purposefully like they are now. It's not as authentic. It was when they were really trying to be good, but they just weren't, but they were awesome at the same time. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they all have like famous 90210 stars, like Brian Austin Green is in a ton of them. Jenny Garth is in a ton of them. I mean, it's kind of cool.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of like, who's going to be, what's 90210 members going to be playing on my, you know, a different channel this week, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's cool.
Oh, so anyway, guys, back to the topic at hand, I guess. For the next five episodes, we will be covering the five-part mystery, the first Ghost Rider mystery from 1992 entitled Ghost Story. And if you have never seen the show, I actually put a link in the YouTube playlist of every single episode, like, so you go to this link, it has a playlist of every episode of Ghost Rider on YouTube. It's in a link tree. So just go there, watch along with us. It's fun. Just be patient. It's a kid show and it was very low budget. So you just kind of had to go with that. Keep that in mind. I have got to say though, that I got like actually teary eyed with nostalgia sometimes, like with each episode. Like at some point, I just like, I just miss being a kid.
I know. You know, I miss all the free time.
Yeah. And just like the wonder and the imagination and just everything, you know, and when you didn't get jaded with life, it sucks. But
it sounds bad to say, but it really, this is us, another time capsule of what it was like to be a kid without a cell phone. Mm-hmm. Like not only did you make your own kind of fun, but you see kind of, how are we going to all get together? Okay, we all have to kind of pre-plan. And it's just, yeah, it's really interesting to see kind of what you get up to without just a phone or TV, really. You don't see them watching TV or anything. So
it's yeah. Cool. And these weren't like typical kids. These were like really good kids. They were just mm-hmm. a good example of good kids. And they were. But they were. But I mean, they weren't like, not every kid was not like this, but we did still have to like talk to our parents more and the parents had to know the other parents and all that kind of stuff. And it was a lot different than it is now. It's not as, they were a little more hands-on back then. Now it's kind of, you know, we watch, we observe, you know, through our apps.
Some of these parents are not as hands-on because this really shows you a New York teenager's life too, because there's so much kind of like trust in all of these kids, because even Lenny would just be like, hey dad, I'm going to Jamal's, he's two blocks away, and he's like, okay cool, be back before dinner. Needless to say, they're like getting up in like actual crime solving, but they don't know because they don't have a phone. They don't know where they are. Like they said, come back in 3 hours, and they're like, okay.
It's so crazy.
It's really funny.
So did you watch this when it originally aired?
Yes, I did.
So you watched it on PBS?
I watched it on PBS. I believe it was on around like the 4:30, 5 o'clock mark, because I definitely remember being home from school and then keeping up. I think there was like 2 episodes a day.
Yeah.
Right?
Originally, here anyway, I know it aired on Sundays at like 5. I think it would be 6 for you guys, but it was show... Okay, let's say they had a show. They would show last week's episode, and the second episode was the new episode. And then the next week, that second episode would be the first episode, and then there'd be another new episode. So it just kind of recapped it. So if you missed one episode, it's okay. If you missed a week, you could see the next the week, and they would do the recap and everything.
Yeah, I definitely remember certain cases. Like I remember this one. I remember the intro one, and I remember some when they have when they were older, and Rob was like my crush. So Rob and Alex, and when Alex like grew up, I was 9 when this first came out. So I was like a little bit younger than they're playing. They're playing what, like 11, 12, something around
at first,
maybe
yeah.
13. Yeah. So I was a little bit younger, but I remember having a massive crush on Rob and like a crush on Alex later on when he like got older. But I remember being like, this is so cool. And we were talking about Hector. There's some other characters that come in like on later seasons, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
We'll get into the crushes later on, but
did you watch it? Did you watch it like in real time?
Like, actually, I started it in the middle of this mystery. Like I missed the first episode.
Oh,
and so I didn't get to see it for the longest time until the whole show cycled back through again. It took a while, but I watched it from like episode 2 on and just caught it one day. And I was like, I became so obsessed with this show.
Cool.
I mean, it's just my hyperfixation. It just, I got like, and then just the imagination exploded in my head. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. This is awesome. Like they had this way to like communicate with people, you know, communicate with each other secretly and have a club and they solve crimes and no one knows how. And I, you know, I just thought it was so cool. And I ended up buying all the books.
Oh, cool. I think I may have had one book, but it was years ago. It's been so long since I've seen
it. Yeah,
them.
I have the books there. I would show them to you right now, but they're packed away somewhere.
Oh, okay. You got them packed away. Oh, cool. Yeah.
I have them on my Dustin Can Read Instagram page. You can see them there, and I'll just repost it, and I'll probably share a picture of them too. But just look at them there. That's where all those are. I have most of them, most of the books. And they came out with a bunch after that with like Hector involved, which I didn't know about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah. And then I got the VHS tapes. I had like 3 VHS tapes.
Oh, cool.
It was the first and second episode. And then they skipped the third and went to the fourth episode.
What's the third one?
The third one's the smear campaign of like for school president.
Oh, and I vaguely remember that.
And like, that's when Rob shows up. And I'm like, so he's just like in there all of a sudden. You get to episode 4. You're like, oh
yeah. You don't find out. Yeah. How he got there.
Who is this guy? Yeah. But so you said you haven't seen the new Apple Plus series.
No, right? I have not. Okay.
Did you ever see the new Ghost Rider Mysteries on CBS?
No, only the old, only this okay. Like an early 90s one.
So like the late 90s. Saturday morning, they came out with the new Ghost Rider Mysteries, and it was 3 kids, and it was a half hour show, and the mystery would be solved, like started and finished by that half hour, which with commercials is 20 minutes. So the effects were more CGI with Ghost Rider. So it looked a little bit more real, like, okay. You know, and the kids were okay, but it just didn't last. I think it, they didn't advertise it very well. I only saw a couple of episodes, and then you can actually find, I think you can find them on YouTube now.
Oh, but okay.
One of the girls in it was, did you ever see Harriet the Spy, the movie?
Uh-huh. Oh, a long time ago. Is it not Trachtenberg?
Not Michelle Trachtenberg, but yeah. The girl, the mean girl that she ends up slapping.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about.
Her. She's like one of the girls in the new Ghost Rider Mysteries.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's 2 girls and a guy. And it's fun. It's a fun little show. It wasn't as good, but it still kind of kept the same concept. They already knew Ghost Rider. They didn't establish who you're just supposed to know from the beginning.
You just dropped into
you're dropping right in the middle of there. It's kind of like Scooby-Doo. You're like, how's this dog talk? You know?
It's never explained.
So that happened. And, I've seen that there's a board game that came out at some point. I didn't know anything about. I wanted to play that. I have some things that I kept, which I'll share with you in a little bit.
Ooh, that's so cool.
That I got. And I don't know if you can see.
Word.
I got this emblem on my hat, which I got from Rally J on Etsy. That's their name is Rally J.
Oh, that's so cool. I used to write Rally L in my notebooks like when I was younger because I was like hoping. I was like, oh, this would be so cool. My friends would all come around. I wish Ghost Rider would read this.
My journal, I would like have imaginary conversations with Ghost Rider. So I would write and then it's just a blank spot where he answered. And then I would write something else and there's a blank spot where he answered.
Oh, that's cool. That's so cool. Yeah, we had to make our own fun, kids.
We were indoor kids, okay?
Yeah, we were. Kind of sort. I was like a blend, I guess. I wasn't a video game kid, like hardcore. I mean, I played them, but I know the generation maybe like 10 years, maybe 5-10 years older was like probably strictly video game. Now, mostly, they're like really gamers, so
yeah. There's a lot of things. Rally J has on not just Ghost Rider but other nostalgic things, and
cool.
You should check him out on Etsy, and he's also on Instagram too. I'll tag him.
Sweet. I want like a Thabtoe shirt, like, and then people would be like, what is that? Like, if you know, you know. Then I wonder how many people would actually know what it is.
We'll reveal more as we go along, of course, because we're gonna act like we've never watched this before, even though we have. So are you ready to solve the first Ghost Rider mystery?
Ready.
All right. Again, from 1992, it's season 1, episode 1, Ghost Story Part 1. That's a lot of ones.
Exercise your head. Read.
Ghost
Rewatcher is brought to you in part by Nike.
Additional bucks that keep our team supreme come from public television viewers like you and me.
The Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
The John Dean Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
The Pew Charitable Trust.
And the U.S. Department of Education.
But you can't say it all in breath.
I bet you can.
All right, and we open on Reginald and Jamal Jenkins, father and son, played by Samuel L. Jackson and Sheldon Turnipseed. God, what a name.
How amazing.
What a name. I mean,
I know.
You want to think it's like, you want to think that it's a, like a stage name, but it's too obscure to be a stage name.
Yeah, I think it is Cumberbatch. His real name. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Cumberbatch is the other one too.
So Reggie and Jamal, they're searching their Brooklyn basement for a trunk for Jamal's older sister, Denitra, who is prepping to move to college or university for anybody from Great Britain listening. It just makes me laugh that they can't find the trunk, which is obviously right there in front of them.
I know, it's like right under there.
A small tarp. So Jamal's dad asks for help, like, help me get it out. And because it belonged to their great grandpa, Ezra, which may hold a deeper meaning now that I think about it.
Uh-huh.
But they don't go any further.
Yeah.
And as they pull the trunk out, a book, which is sitting on the other side of the trunk, it falls to the floor, pops open, and it glows wild. And out of it springs a floating ball with two little stripes above it. It's flying around the room, going everywhere, completely unnoticed by the Jenkins boys. And it finally sees the back of Jamal's shirt embedding itself into the words on his back positively. Before they carry the trunk upstairs. And then it's Ghost Rider opening! Ghost Rider!
Word! And we have the first one where we just get all of the cool intros and they're all around the town, which is kind of cool.
It is. And I just love the opening. Even without all the little, you know, explanations of what's going on in the show, I don't like it just... I like show openers. I just like them. I
love a show opener.
I miss opening themes, like not just title and that's it. You know, I want more. I want to see the characters or hear some really good music that sets the mood, you know, but
yeah.
And this does. This sets that mood because it gives you a blend of all these different cultures and all these different, you know, and it's fun and it makes you, I don't know, I'm getting really nostalgic.
No, I mean, it makes you feel like a kid when the street, there's that moment where you're old enough and they're about that age, like 12, 13, where you're like more independent. You can go into stores and buy things. And the streets kind of open up in this different way because you're used to being on the streets with your parents or even, you know, your parents, your friend, and maybe your friend's parent. Like you're not by yourself. But when you're completely alone, not you and a friend, completely alone, you're like, oh, cool, I can go anywhere. I can buy candy now. You know, I don't have to ask for permission. Like, it's a really cool kind of experience.
Yeah, I agree. It's, yeah. And that's where they're at. They're at that cusp. You know, they're at cusp of, like, puberty and just everything coming at them. They're starting to grow up. And this is where Ghost Rider's going to come in. So, all right. We come back as Jamal is walking near the park at night, presumably on his way back from the grocery. He's like shadow fighting the air and he spots some commotion on this like art display in the middle of the park. And there are these kids with these double headed green masks and flashlights that seem to be like play fighting each other or something. They're grunting, they're yelling. Then they all stop and they hold their arms up to each other and eventually turn around to face outward opposite of each other, pointing the flashlight on their weird monster like faces. And Jamal's like creeped out. He's like, no. I'm not doing this. He walks off and he's like, wait a minute. And he kind of pops back into frame and the kids are gone.
It's scary that he like stopped to investigate. Like, what are you doing?
Like, well, he's far enough away, it looks like. It looks like he's far enough away. Yeah. I'm assuming, you know, it's a street and there's cars and stuff going by in the background, but still. So he leaves, but we see that the masked kids, they were hiding in the shadows watching him go. It is really creepy. The music is good and creepy. You know, it's like this kind of industrial kind of sound. Like,
yeah.
You know. So we go back to the Jenkins house, and all I have here is, Mom didn't take your gold bracelet, Denitra, and she doesn't appreciate your accusing her as such.
I know. She was pissed. It was funny.
It's like, also, dad ain't going to help you close that trunk. Better go jump up and down on it like he said.
I love that Samuel L. Jackson is Samuel L. Jackson in every single thing. I was like, he just does Pulp Fiction after this, everyone. Like,
yeah, no, he
this
did.
This is like so wild.
It's like a couple, he did like Do the Right Thing right before this. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, a couple years before that, he was like Coming to America and he played like the guy with the shotgun in the McDonald's restaurant. And then you see him in this, like, this is like the nice version of those.
I know, like, but he's still kind of like, hurry up and help me move this case. What are you doing? Why are you, like, he's still kind of like crotchety.
Yeah, you're like, I'm tired of this motherfucking case and this motherfucking hallway.
You know? That's exactly what I feel like he would say if it wasn't like a PBS show.
And they'd be like, oh, Reggie.
Yeah, you know, basically.
Jamal thinks it's hilarious, and despite his chuckle, Denitra lets him know that, you know, okay, I set my computer up in your room and, like, don't break it. Don't break my freaking computer.
And I don't break it.
Don't break it, you know. And Grandma Cece, who is Marcella Lowry.
I love her.
She's great. She's been in so many little things, like side
so
characters.
Much,
and like,
yeah.
And then you see her and you're like, oh, it's Grandma. Every time I see her now, I'm like, Grandma Cece.
Yeah, I love her. She's like so comforting.
So yeah, she's grateful for Jamal running to the store so she can finish Denitra's going away caramel cake. She also alludes that he won't be getting any, which
I
is
know that no one finished. Else can have.
You went and got all these ingredients for me. Thanks. You can't have any. What?
Yeah, right.
Can you make like, me no. one, please? Like, or make me a cupcake from the leftovers? I don't know. Make a separate cake. Don't tease the growing
yeah,
boy.
Make two.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah, you can.
That smell's gonna be all up in the house, like, no cake smells.
And
here.
She's gonna go to college with a massive trunk and like a full cake tray. Like, I don't think so. Who's showing up to college with like a full cake, like a round cake? It's like, no.
Welcome to college. I mean, total freshman vibes right there. Boom.
Yeah. Like, oh my god.
Well, so Jamal goes upstairs to his room, just disappointed about not getting that cake, and. We see the computer and we get this like creepy ominous sound. It's like bing!
Yeah. I wrote, what is this scary music when he's by the computer?
I'm like, there's nothing happening. It's just there's a computer there. Oh, it's a, you know, like, you know why it's there. It's not like it just showed up. But anyway. So he sits down and behind him, the words on his shirt are, from earlier, this is positively, for some reason it's still on his bed, it starts glowing. And I mean, all the random words we had on our shirts in the 90s, for real.
Oh, I know.
Positively. So what? Okay.
It was like a free shirt. That was like a dare shirt that you get at like a park.
His like dad got it. He was like doing some kind of thing and you got a promo shirt. Like, here, son, here you go.
Yeah, here.
Positively. Oh, I like that. Words.
Yeah, it's cool. God.
And this, so a little ball of light jumps out of it and flies across the room onto his bulletin board. Meanwhile, Jamal's just like taking a whole 5 minutes to type out. Hello, computer. My name is Jamal. Ready for one dynamite dude?
I wrote, this is so weird. I was like, wait, is this like AI? Why is he introducing himself to the computer? Like, hi, I'm Jamal. I'm like, the computers back then didn't, you never had a blue screen that was just like you talking back and forth to a computer. Like,
I know.
What did he expect? What did he expect it was going to say?
I mean, it'd be different, like, hi, you know, not hi computer, but like, I would just be typing, my name is Jamal, blah, 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 and maybe something I could print out just to kind of see and test it. But like, this is, he's talking to the computer, but whatever.
It's so funny.
I don't know any child that did that this time, but you know, and I was a lame kid, but do that what you will. So he looks up and he sees the words on his bulletin board, don't fool with the cool.
Which is weird.
Just he has some really good, like, it's, you know what though? It's kind of the equivalent of, you know, those words you would see in people's houses, like.
Like this, word art?
Yeah, like stupid stuff like faith, love, joy.
Yeah, you word know, art, yeah.
Okay, it's that kind of, it's the same thing, except it's on a bulletin board, so it makes a little more sense.
It's like a piece of paper or something that, like you
don't
find something
fool with
cool.
The cool. So it's glowing, and he's like, what the hell? And he just
doesn't he,
jumps
like,
up.
Jump back? Yeah, like his computer, his chair flies back.
Is he free? At first, he's like freezing him. Is he freezing because it's a lame slogan or, you know, because it's a mental game? Anyway, so yeah, he jumps back and the ball of light jumps out of the page and jumps into his computer and it writes, help, 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 help. Where are the children? Are they all right?
I was like, this feels like really weird.
Yeah. And the music really starts to amp up the creepy.
Yeah. You know? I was like, what is this?
So Jamal reads it. and starts asking, what are you talking about? What children? Who are you? But there's no answer. And he goes to the hall and he's like, Denitra, please. She's like, I'm busy. She's clearly standing right there.
I'm packing.
It doesn't even sound like she's far away. She's right there screaming into space, just off the camera. And she's like, I'm busy. He's like, just come in here, please. And then she's like, there.
Yeah, she's like, what?
And she looks, and he's like, what? He goes, look at that. What is that? And she's like, a computer. And he's like, no, what's on the screen? She's like, there's nothing on the screen. He was like, but it says this. And she's like, all right, you're nuts.
Yeah, no.
Crazy. Leave me alone. I got stuff. I'm like, leave her alone, Jamal. She's got some major life changes going on right now she needs to focus on. All right. She doesn't need your business. So like he's convinced that she's playing a trick on him. And he's like, he can't get the screen to clear. So he just unplugs it outright. I'm like, now he's safe. So Denitra reenters and she says, I need your help. Can you help me? And he was like, I'm busy. And she's like, pretty please, jammy jam. And then he gives in. I'm like, oh, that was your kryptonite? Really?
And it's whatever. Like, all right.
But you know, like my brother would do that to me sometimes. He would piss me off and then like say something and make me laugh. I'm like, oh, and annoy me as hell, like, because I'm laughing now. You know what
like
I mean?
I was about to like throw you down the stairs and now I'm laughing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Ugh, man. So yeah, he leaves. And when he closes the door, the little ball of light jumps from his computer into his backpack, which apparently is heavy because that backpack moves.
Yeah. Kind of wild.
I know. It's the only time you see it move anything, like actually move something.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next morning on the street, a girl named Gabby Fernandez, who is played by Maytiana Morales. I think it's Maytiana. Is that how you say it?
Looks I think like so. It. That's how I would read it, yeah.
She's lamenting that there's not enough sunshine and she wants fairness in weather or she'll protest. And her brother, Alex, who's David Lopez, is playing trash can basketball, whatever you call it, and says sarcastically that she should, you know, try protesting that to your teacher. I'm like, yeah, Alex is checked out.
Alex is like, oh, this is so annoying.
He is so over his sister, you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
So she comes back with trivia. She goes, St. Petersburg, Florida once had 768 days of sunshine in a row, two whole years of sunshine. And I mean, I kind of appreciate it because I love trivia. You know,
she's very Lisa Simpson, Gabby.
Yes. Yeah, she is. She is. She's kind of like the Bart to Lisa in a way.
Kind of.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, she's kind of a mix in a way. So Alex is like, hurry up. And she was like, I got to tie my shoe. So he's like, whatever. And he shrugs it off and he keeps walking. And she sets her backpack down to tie it. And I'm like, why did you set your backpack down?
Yeah, why wasn't it just on both, you know, shoulders?
I mean, dummy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the kids would try to like rip it off their shoulders, though.
This is Brooklyn in 1992, so I was not surprised that thing got snatched as soon as she put it down.
She did. She's like, wait. And she sees the kid has a double-headed monster mask running. She runs away. She's like, shoot. I'm like, you know she wanted to say the other word.
Oh, I know, right?
Damn PBS. Meanwhile, Jamal revisits the park that he went to the night before, looking at the art display, which just looks like rust-colored panels with holes in them.
Yeah, that's why I didn't know if it was a playground at first, and then I was like, oh no, this is like a statue or sculpture?
It's not very impressive, it's just kind of there, like warped cheese grater, I don't know. Yeah. So the ball of light emerges briefly from his backpack, as he remembers the night before in a flashback, giving the audience context. Because we forgot what happened 5 minutes ago. Just then, a girl who should be watching where she's going instead of walking and writing in a notebook bumps into him.
Oh.
He bends over to help her grab her book. She's like, no, that's all right. She's pretty ticked off that.
Yeah, why was she so aggressive when he was trying to help her?
Give it to me. She like yanks it out of his hand.
Yeah, she yanked it.
I'm like, chill out. He's being nice considering you ran into him. He wasn't even moving.
Yeah. He's trying to solve this crime investigate about what he saw last night and then also Ghostwriter. Like, he's got like two things going on, but he doesn't know anything yet.
And maybe they're linked. We don't know.
Yeah.
So as they talk, we see the ball of light stretch out of his bag and into hers. And we learn they recognize each other from school. Her name is Lenny Frazier, which she's got the best name in real life, Blaze Berdahl.
So cool.
That's a great name.
so great.
That's star quality name right there.
She's a twin, identical twin.
I know. Yeah, I thought that was so cool. So she's like, Jamal, right? And he nods and he says, Jenkins. And she's confused. You're Jenkins? And he goes, no, Jamal Jenkins. Silly. She's over here wearing a brown suede jacket with the longest fringe ever.
I just love Lenny. Lenny is Blossom. For anyone out there who's not seen Blossom, the 90s sitcom with Mayim Bialik, she's Blossom. She's Rayanne from My So-Called Life. Like, yes. This was like that style. I loved it. But, like, I always loved it.
Yeah, scaled down
a little bit. Yeah, more like 12-year-old. Yeah, 11, 12-year-old.
She's like the flower child of the group in a way. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, she is.
What decade was she in, really? Like, you don't know. You don't know.
70s?
Kind of, 60s, 70s.
Her dad was very, like, Blossom's dad. They actually were very similar. Like, they actually, like, I bet there was some writer who had a crossover. I don't know when Blossom started. Was that, like, it might have been 90.
Yeah, Blossom, it was still going at this point.
Yeah, it might have been on, so that could have been like a marker for them to make that character like Blossom.
So she apologizes because she was concentrating on writing a song before school, and he remembers her being a really good singer in the talent show last year. That's nice, whatever. So they say their goodbyes, and she goes to sit at a bench to continue writing while he checks out the area that the mask-wearing kids were at, where he finds a green button that says Thabto. Thabto, and like a little kitty cat sticker on the back. And then he finds a blue slip of paper with some weird language written on it. And at the same time, Lenny is finishing up some lyrics, rapping to herself before slowly writing it all down. It's a theme.
This was the cringiest moment when she was rapping. I was like, oh.
But at that time, it was like, it's cool. She's just, you know.
Yeah,
but she got better throughout the show. I would say that she gets better.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
An orange light springs from her bag and covers her page, taking the words off and replacing them with "Where are you, dynamite dude, Jamal?" And she freaks out and pushes the notebook away, and she's coming back at it with a stick to open it back up again from the ground. She's like, "Woo, okay, the letters are gone."
So creepy.
Oh. So she goes to pick it up, and suddenly it says, Lenny fights for what's right.
Like, okay.
What?
You're like, where did he read that?
What is this? So she steps back again, and she's like, okay. It turns back normal, and she grabs it really quick. She puts it in her bag, like, what the hell? What the hell? So that's when we go to Zora Neale Hurston Middle School, which is a famous author who went to Howard University and traveled all over. Look her up on Wikipedia. She's very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hence the reason why they named the school this. So Jamal arrives and finds a blue note in his locker that says, near the park after dark, you were there, so beware. Signed, Thabto. Watch your back, Jamal.
That's creepy. That's like actually very creepy. I was weirded out by that moment.
That they knew who he was.
Yeah. And that they like knew where his locker was. I was like, wait, this is like... Yeah.
Well, the creepy thing is they knew where his locker was before they saw him go to it. Like, they know him.
Yeah, they know him. Because it was the same. It was like the morning after. So how could they have seen? It wasn't like 2 days where they saw that guy and they're like, oh, there's his locker. Let's put a note in like tomorrow. Like,
so they must have a locker right next to him or something.
Plot holes. They would have.
Well, we're finding them, guys.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked out. They wouldn't have known exactly like, which locker was his.
So Lenny walks up to him. She's like, how'd you do it? And he's like, what? She goes, some kind of magic trick. And then he's like, what? And she's like, something from science lab. He's like, what? Leave me alone.
What is it?
She shows him the notebook and dares him, like, change the letters around again. Do it. Go on. And he's like, I'm annoyed. This is the second time you've snuck up on me. And, you know,
why are you
and you're probably sneaking these notes into my locker, too. And she's like, huh? No, she goes, what? And I'm like, she's kind of, it turns. Anyway, so they say what a lot in this like 5 minutes. And he shows her like the note that he just got. She's like, I didn't do that. And who's Thabto? And he tells her like what he saw in the park last night and the button and the weird message he found. And she suggests he throw it all away. And he says, no, this is just weird enough to get really interesting. And she kind of goes, yeah. Like that kind of
yeah.
I love the over.
Don't you both have other friends that you're usually talking to? How are they not like?
That's what I'm saying.
Isn't that weird that they're not like, hey, Jamal, like, what are you doing? Like, come sit over with us. Like, are they all just loners? And then, like, Lenny doesn't go, okay, cool. And then they, like, split up and they have, like, their own friend group. Like, they're all.
Yeah, we never see their other friends like they had before.
We never see it. Yeah.
They were all loners, apparently. That's what I always wondered. It was always so strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. He tells her all about that. And he says it's really interesting. And then all of a sudden, the ball of light shows up again and circles the page he's holding. And they both see it as it flies off to the school bulletin board, rearranging the letters to say, careful after dark, my children.
I know, that's like weird. Have to point out the bulletin board. It was, I thought, was really funny. I wrote, the kid that signed the, it's a lunch food petition, and it says, tired of the same lunches day in, day out, sign our petition. And the kid was like up there like writing his name, and I was like, this is an amazing idea for these kids to be like, yeah, we're sick of this food, sign your name or tell the principal. I was like, I want more of like student government. Although we do have a really good cameo by Julia Stiles in
way later.
It's way later.
I think it's season two.
It's a great episode. There are a lot of good cameos throughout.
Oh yeah, there are. There's so many like, and so many up and coming people that you're like, oh crap. I didn't realize. Yeah, it's so.
I love the lunch petition. I love that. That's great.
So yeah, speaking of that kid, he obviously doesn't see it. They're like, what's going on? And then he just walks off, and they're just watching him leave. Like, you didn't see that happen right in front of your face. Like, oh my god. And so like, Lenny's like, no one saw that. And Jamal's like, shh, people will think we're nuts. I'm like, they're not listening to you. Okay.
Yeah, no one is paying attention.
I think you're the kids who don't get noticed unless you're psychopaths who apparently memorize who has what locker.
Also, how does Lenny not have friends when she's like singing at the talent show and she's like a cool musician? Like, wouldn't that girl at least
with
be
a
like
single
a
dad? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't somebody people in the hallway would just be like, oh, hey, like Lenny.
But let's be honest. Had this been real life, she would have had a single dad. She probably would have had some kind of alcohol drug problem too. Like,
yeah. It would have been Rayanne. I mean?
Like, she would have been Rayanne. Like,
she is Rayanne. Yeah. Basically.
Just at the start of the whole thing. So. But thankfully, she's not.
No.
She's not like that, guys. There's no sex in the show.
There is a little bit of like a lesson. Like, you know, when they get later on, I think like one of them starts hanging out with like a could be a gang-ish.
Yeah.
Like there are some like life lessons when they get to be like, I don't know, when are they, when they end this show?
It gets
like
a little after school special.
Yeah, after school special.
It went on for like three seasons. It was actually two seasons and like two extra mysteries and that was it. But
oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so we jump over to the Fernandez family bodega. And for those of you who, like me, didn't know at the time that this came out, a bodega is a Spanish supermarket or grocery.
It's like a corner store / grocery. Yeah.
Usually family owned. So Gabby tells her parents about her backpack being stolen. And she says that the teacher told her, she told her teacher, and they found out all these other kids have had their backpack stolen as well. And then Mr. Fernandez starts laying into Alex for leaving his kid sister behind and allowing this to happen, which, I mean, fair. He left.
Yeah. Totally. She's and like, she was right there. Like, I mean, she wasn't that far. I don't get it.
I mean, and I remember like how I would love they would say something in Spanish and the kids would like repeat it back in English. So it would kind of help me understand more.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
I
this is kind of making me a little bilingual. I still can't do it. But
education. I mean, this show was an educational show. So it definitely helped.
They did the whole Spanglish thing well, you know. Mm-hmm. And I started Duolingo. I'm like 70 days in now for doing Spanish.
For Spanish?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I can't converse anything yet, but I know like the basics of like you went to first grade and started learning some things. That's it.
So. I know basics, yeah, but I don't know. I can understand it pretty well. But mm-hmm. I've never been able to speak it like conversationally for, you know, a half an hour.
It's hard for me to pick up on the speed of it. And how some words kind of flow into the other word, and you're kind of like, wait, is that two words? Or is that the same word? You have to realize the context. It takes practice.
So it's, and I'm also like, even when I watch other shows, like other foreign language shows, I'm like, wow, it's so many languages are fast. But then English, I think, is fast too. We just don't hear it the same way because it's a native language. But English is also fast when you're a native speaker. So
right, I totally agree. So Alex apologizes and confirms he won't leave Gabby behind again as his dad complains about the backpack and the books and the lunch money. All of this was taken. It all costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And Lenny comes in just then and grabs a few things while Mrs. Fernandez asks Alex to watch the register. So Lenny says hi to Alex, and oh, you got another detective novel? And he says, yeah, I'm already halfway through, and I think I figured out the culprit. And she says, why bother finishing it? And he says, to prove I'm right. I'm like, why wouldn't you finish it? You know?
Yeah.
You want to know that you made, you know, why bother finishing it? Well, I'm right, and then you're... What if you're wrong?
Lenny you has ADD. She has undiagnosed ADD because that would probably be me. I'd be like, well, whatever, I'm done with this now. I'm going to write a song. Like, that's what she totally would do. She's probably, she's too cool. Lenny's got her cool dad. Like, she's cool. Her apartment is still the stuff of dreams even now.
Oh, I love that apartment. But I mean, okay, so... But could you imagine, like, he never finished the book because he just knows it's right. He knows he's and what if he's, like, wrong every
time?
Yeah,
what if he's wrong?
But he never knows. Because he never finishes the book.
That's what she would do. That's what she would do. Can you imagine halfway through, like, the mystery? She's like, yeah, I think we know who did it, guys. Let's pack it up.
Like, wait, we don't have any evidence. I don't care. I know who did it.
I know who did it.
We don't need
a horrible juror. Horrible. She's like, I'm done. I'm done with the trial.
Grown up Lenny is just like, she keeps assuming crap all the time. No, yeah. That's not how it worked, Lenny. Stop.
I would love not a reboot, but I would love a, like, where are they now? Like, just where the characters are. Like, yeah. what are they end up doing?
Yeah. Well, I actually had an idea, and I'll go over that later too with you when we get the end. But I have an idea for a reboot. So, yeah. So a lot of music comes on, booming from upstairs as he's, like, checking out Lenny's items. And he's like, yeah, my dad's rehearsing for a gig. And Mr. Fernandez is like, well, I don't care about that. But all the noise coming through. And then his wife's like, everybody has to make a living. He was like, yeah, but it had to be so loud. I'm like, dude, you need to talk to your neighbor and make an arrangement. Like, just make an arrangement. Like, make it's so obvious you have not talked to this guy.
Yeah, and they live upstairs.
They're right, like, upstairs.
Right upstairs, yeah.
You know each other's first names. Come on. So we jump to upstairs, and Lenny arrives home to her dad's jazz band finishing a song. It jazz is whatever. I don't know. I just...
Yeah, it's, I couldn't, like, a listen jazzy, to it all the time. Modern jazz for the time, for the 90s. Yeah,
it'd be background noise for me. That's it.
Like, it's not it was very cool. Like, the dad seemed like he was cool because he was playing this. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, you kind of thought he was this cool guy. Very much like Blossom's dad. There's a lot of similarities here because Blossom's dad, I think, also was a pianist, I think. And was always performing. Yeah, so, like, there was music in that house too, yeah.
So she's like, can I go to Jamal's house, Jamal Jenkins? And he's like, do I know them? And he's like, well, you met him at the dance you chaperoned last year. And he's like, I met 100 kids at that dance. It was last year. And you're like, but you know the guy I'm talking about, right? Like,
he's like, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, she convinces him she'll be back in time for his world famous spaghetti. And he agrees since Jamal is only 2 blocks away. And she grabs a cookie and her dad's like, Lenny. And so she grabs an apple instead. I mean, better choice, but why have cookies displayed out in the middle of, like, if no one's allowed to have them?
And that little yellow dump truck that has, like, chocolate cookies with no lid on that cookie.
You
jar.
Put them out for people to have.
Yeah. And also, side note, when she was in the grocery store, inflation minute, everything was like $3.75. Like, everything that she bought was like $3. Alex was like, $3.75. I was like, what? She bought everything for pasta.
I know. Like, can you imagine, wild. Man?
Yeah.
I just want to go back in time for that alone.
I know. Yeah.
That just alone. To appreciate money. Yeah. So, okay, we jump over to Jamal's house. Just as Mom, Dad, and Denitra prepare to leave for Philadelphia, and Grandma Cece's giving her a huge bag of food to take with her because college food is not home cooking. No lies.
Yeah, it's not.
So Denitra tries to say goodbye to Jamal, but he feigns annoyance, saying, I guess I'll miss you. And so, yeah, siblings, right? So Grandma Cece says, next thing you know, Jamal will be headed off to college. And Jamal's like, that'll be another 6 years. But she keeps it real. She's like, those 6 years will fly by. I'm like, she tells no lies. We know this about Cece.
Yeah.
And also, I want to point out that Cece is a postal worker. Like, they don't say this at first, but she is. And I mean, they show it. She's wearing her, like, her little letter carrier uniform. And I just love the little tie-ins to various forms of writing. And I didn't realize that until I got older. I was like, oh, that's how they tied her in. She takes letters to people, you know, like letter carrier. That's awesome. So anyway, Lenny comes over and Jamal says they're going upstairs to work on his computer. And I'm like, she's like, okay, whatever. I'm like, is this appropriate? They're like 12 or 13.
I mean,
boy, girl, you've never met this girl.
I want to know what would happen if they were in high school. It wouldn't have been a PBS show, but I wonder like how their social lives would manage like trying to solve this mystery that they can't tell anybody about. It's kind of like Buffy, how they're like a group of people where no one knows that she's the Slayer. So like I really would love to have seen them like in high school, like dating. Like how are they gonna be like, oh, I have a date, but damn, we just broke this case. Like I gotta lie and say like something came up, and then they find out they're lying, and then then someone else has to get brought into like the group of like, okay.
Somebody went to Lookout Point and they're like getting all hot like, and heavy with their girlfriend, and all of a sudden, like in the fog and the thing, Ghost Rider writes Rally L. You're like, damn it.
Yeah, I know, right? Like I want the adult version of like how this impacts their like.
And you just hear the music.
And they're like, I gotta go.
I'm like, sorry, we gotta stop. Oh god, that would be funny. Anyway, so they go upstairs and Jamal shows Lenny the computer that the spirit spoke to him on last night. He turns it on and the screen is blank, and Lenny's like, well, here, maybe if I bring my notebook out and put it next to it, the spirit will come again. And they wait and they wait and nothing happens. In the meantime, Jamal says they should try to figure out the weird note he found in the park. And Lenny says it looks like a foreign language. She suggests maybe it's backwards or something, but it only makes the message more confusing when they hold it up to a mirror.
That was pretty smart.
I mean, it was an idea.
Yeah, that was their first thing,
So Jamal figures out and it's written in a secret code. I'm like, there you go, kid. Catch up to the rest of the audience, why don't you?
I know, it's because we're old. I was like, damn, they're taking a long time to get to this.
I was told this because my family hated the show because I watched it obsessively.
Why? Oh,
they were tired of it and they made fun of it at being slow and all this stuff. So I knew how people felt about it. It didn't feel that way to me then, but now I'm like, speed it up, kids.
Oh, yeah. And now they're like, God, this is crazy.
We don't have to see the entire sentence being written. You know,
by an adult, a blatant adult, probably. I know. Who's like writing it slow.
It makes you so sad. Oh, man. So, you know, Lenny's like, hey, my friend Alex Fernandez could probably help. And Jamal's like, oh, yeah, Alex, I see him at the video arcade sometimes. And Lenny says, well, Alex is always reading mysteries and such, and he might know what to do with this message. I'm like, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Bring in the other kid. So downstairs, Grandma Cece says she's making a quick trip to the store, and we see the spirit is reading her 4-item shopping list. And I used to make fun of this.
Why? Her shopping list?
Yeah, just the shopping list, because there's only like 4 things on the list. And I'm like, but now knowing how forgetful I am, I kind of feel Cece's pain. Like, I know you just don't remember things. She's getting milk, cheese, potatoes, and cornflakes. I'm like, damn, those are some dense calories, Cece.
Yeah, it is. But that's a staple. Those are all staples.
We need some fruits and vegetables in the house. Come on,
guys. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, make that food pyramid. Let's do that. So she calls up Jamal and like, so he and Lenny are still like waiting for something to happen. I'm like, seriously, you're just going to leave your teenage grandson upstairs with the girl you've just met like a few minutes before, just leaving her.
Okay. Well, I think at that age, if they don't call attention to it, we don't think it's weird. We do now, but I guess if you're 9 or 10, you're like, what's the big deal? Why would that be weird? You know, it's like,
it's kind of like the iCarly thing, you know,
what is
Freddie
that?
Always comes over iCarly.
Oh, I haven't seen iCarly. I know that it's a show, but yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah, what is
she has her neighbor across the hall that comes over. He's a kid. They're like 12 at the beginning of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's,
Like Clarissa.
Yeah.
He climbs into the bed. Yeah, he climbs into the bedroom.
Like, there's all these inappropriate friendships. In a way.
Joey and Jason, that was kind of odd that she was climbing up into his room and they were like 16, 15. Like,
yeah. It was. And where'd you get that guitar twang? What's that coming from? Anyway. Anyway, so she calls up to them and says, I'm gone, whatever. And suddenly words appear on the computer, says, what in the world are cornflakes?
Cornflakes, of all things.
So Jamal goes, Lenny, look. He doesn't say Lenny. And I've noticed this every single time I've ever watched the show. He says, Vinny.
He does, Vinny?
He says, Vinny, look.
Vinny.
Every time. And I'm like, it could be like the music mixing with his words and it sounds like Vinny, but that's what it's saying. It's not Lenny. Anyway, it bothers me. They start shouting at the computer, who are you? Where have you been? Where do you come from? Don't you know where cornflakes are? What do you want from us? How do you follow us around? Can you see us? Is your name Fabto?
So aggressive, screaming at this TV.
And they're like, boom, question, 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 yeah. question. No answer. No answer at all. And then it writes back, why do you not answer me? And Lenny's like, we are answering you.
Tell and us Jamal, who you are.
And Jamal's like, do you want us to speak louder?
Oh, God. That's why the grandma had to leave. Because like, she was there and she heard them yelling. Yeah, she'd be like, what's going on? And then...
Who are you?
Yeah. What's going on? Is your name Thapto? What are cornflakes? She's like, what?
Don't you know what cornflakes are?
Yeah, like, she'd be like, what'd you say? Like, what's going on? Who is this girl? Who are you?
Oh, that would have been crazy. I would have loved to have heard, like, on the other side of the door, like, what that sounded mm-hmm. like. So then the words, answer me, answer me, answer me, answer me, show up on the screen. But they have no idea what to do now. End of part one.
Dun dun. It would have been better if Samuel L. Jackson was actually home. And he was like, shut the fuck up. What are you all screaming about? Do we ever see him like in other episodes?
I think he comes back toward the end. Well, he doesn't come back in this one, but he comes in episode Mr. Brinker's store, which is episode two.
Oh, the next one. Yeah.
Which
yeah,
they
yeah,
filmed okay. first.
Yeah, I was going to say. That
they
one...
filmed that first on location everywhere. And then they got the grant. All right, now we have to show how they met Ghost Rider. So they had to film on the set. But cool. That's why they look older in the first episode.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, it's like all the pilots that they do because it takes months or mm-hmm. years sometimes to get the funding. Yeah, to make
exactly.
It
it's even worse for like PBS stuff, you know. They had to really get funding from multiple places. So.
Yeah, it's like public. I remember those ads too, the ones that they have on YouTube. Like, you know, this was made possible by, and it's like Nike, and it's like, you know, like Treasure Island. And it's like the city for blah, 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 like all the trusts, mm-hmm. you know, all the trusts that sponsor. Yeah, it's cool.
I've always loved that though, when they say it all together, you know. Mm-hmm. Additional funds to keep our team supreme comes from television viewers
yeah,
like you.
Yeah, viewers like you.
Blah, blah, blah. I can't even do it. They do it so fast, and I've never been able to do it.
Yeah, they do it so fast.
So what do you think, rewatchers? Is this your first experience with Ghost Rider, or are you rewatching along with us? Please let us know. Don't forget to like check out the Linktree for like the YouTube Ghost Rider playlist. You can contact the show at the Rewatch Recap on Threads and Instagram, and I'm on TikTok at Dustin_Holden. Hit us at Lauren's socials. You are at Fashion Grunge Pod.
I'm Fashion Grunge everywhere. Or Linktree is just Fashion Grunge, so you can find everything there.
Well, I'm putting the Linktree, like I said, in the show notes. They'll be able to find you there, especially. You'll be able to find every place that you're, you know, available to listen to or contact you on socials. So get your casebooks ready for next week because the rewatch team is on the case. Bye, everybody.
Bye.